Okay, Janice has a microphone, and she's going to run to you when you raise your hand. And so I'm going to have, Janice, I'm going to have you select.
When Cryon talks about the chromosomes, people with Down syndrome have an extra chromosome. Has he ever said anything about that?
No, that is, of course, the diagnosis of it, that you can, that's how you know a Down syndrome, because of the extra chromosome. He has not said anything about that at a chromosome level. He's talked about those with Down syndrome, and because there are mothers who will ask that question, you know, say, what is the reasoning? What is the overall of why I would have a child? And Cryon has addressed it, and the answer is for the parents. It's almost like an agreement. The child will come in and play this role of tremendous love and all to bring the parents something that they needed to have. It's not the answer people want to hear, but that's been the answer of that one. Thank you.
How long will the mini ice age last?
Longer than you want. Oh. The Earth is slow. This mini ice age is mini. It just means that we're going to have a temperature change, not a catastrophe. It may be with us for half a century or more. It's not a flash in the pan. It's an adjustment. And it's like those who are born into this won't know any different. They'll just know there are cities that are cold. And, you know, and then if they're born in one, they'll know how to work it, basically. So we're not facing a catastrophe. But to those who were born without it, it looks like as we're going to have to make some adjustments. It's going to be uncomfortable and all. Don't fear this as long as we know, you know, it's coming. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, because this, if I said, well, it's only going to be a few years or whatever, this would be folly. The Earth works very, very slowly. The cycles are often slow, so it may take a while.
My question has to do with DNA. I'm an identical twin. So where does that, you know, that spark of life and then that soul incarnation, and although we're from the same egg and all the genetic material, we are like completely 180 degrees apart. So I'm trying to understand what that is.
Did you grow up together? Same place?
Yeah.
I want to, and there's a reason I asked for that. There's no question, Cryon has been very clear about that. You have different souls, absolutely, 100% different souls. You're different people. So, of course, you'd have different souls. The fun thing about the identical DNA is that you have some gifts. And Cryon has talked about this, too, because it really starts to ask the question about our abilities. If you have identical DNA, identical twins often will sense things together. So if there's trouble with your mom or something else like that, you'd be different places on the planet, and you're giving a thumbs up. And how is that possible? And again, we come down to the mechanics of it. Think about it. You have a kind of simultaneous sensing of certain situations that affect you both. And that is a communication that Cryon says, now you're knowing DNA does some things you'd be shocked at. And you have that connection. It's almost an... it's very special for you. But that is also, Cryon, what says is that this is DNA. It's doing it with you two because you have identical DNA. But think now about an evolved DNA. What do you think you could do, not as an identical, but as a just a regular person? It's kind of like an example of what's there that we're unaware of that shows itself specifically with identicals. So has that happened to you? Have you had that? I say this all the time, right. You're very, very different from your identical, but you still are sensing things together. Do you ever? I'm just curious. Do you ever go to the twins conventions or any of that?
No, he's not that close.
He won't go there. Right.
He's very right, not very left.
Yeah. So it's more political than anything else. Yes. All right. Thank you.
Oh, scared me.
Yeah, that's called a microphone. Don't be frightened.
All right, I'll stand up. This is kind of a strange question. Telepathy, I met over the holidays. I met an infant, a nephew, and he was very young and couldn't speak, but his eyes kept following me around the room, and I felt like we were having this telepathic conversation. And then to piggyback on top of that, I've run into wild animals, and then I have felt that I've been communicating with them telepathically. So these new abilities, are they appearing? Obviously they are, because you discussed
it. They really are. I want to be careful not to call them telepathy, because this gives me a... telepathy is not woo is not as much as it is set. It's a mindset of what you think it is, and that would be ascending thoughts, and that's not what we're looking at. You just ask a question that has like a lot of parts, and I like that. The part I'd like to talk about, and then we'll get into it, that I love to speak about is how old is that little nephew?
Under the age of one.
Okay, good. Under the age of one. There is something going on that I know, because I've experienced it just like you. When you have infants, they recognize your light. And I have been in places like airports. Like, I'll just be walking by, and some woman will have one of those tiny little infants, you know, and I'll walk by and catch the eye, and it's like they're going... It's happened over and over and over, you know, and I'm thinking, and for a while I was saying, I'm just a funny looking guy. It's just like, they must seem to recognize me from the cartoons or something. They recognize our light. And so they'll start smiling instantly when often they don't smile at everyone. That's one thing we've seen. Now, what is that? Is that a kind of telepathy? It is. It's an intuition that the child sees something that... is close to where they were recently. Have you got that? And that has made a difference. So that's encouraging. And then just to answer your question about, are we seeing more of this? Yeah, in so many ways. Even, you know, it goes even into deja vu. When you start looking at what your Akash perhaps is remembering, that's not telepathy. When you meet somebody's eye, for instance, that doesn't know you, across a room like this, but there is a connection. Perhaps it's Akashic or whatever. That will make a difference. That's not telepathy, but you're drawn to situations through your intuition and through the things that Marilyn and I teach, even in the channeling classes that she gives. What if you come to a meeting like this and there is somebody to meet? And you didn't even expect that or whatever, but you meet them, and that leads to something else, to something else. There was often connections here that we're not even taking advantage of, because we, you know, we're polite. We don't just walk up to people and say, I don't know you, but hi. And this has happened so many times in these groups. It's not telepathy, but there's connection. And we're seeing more and more of that. So I like to look for it. And you can start recognizing it, and that is when you meet somebody and there's a connection that you're just it's just a little more than when you meet somebody else, and it doesn't matter what gender they are or anything, and they got something to say or offer you, and you realize somehow I think I know them. That you probably have, because old souls in this room have been here thousands of times. And this is what Crian has said. And we tend to incarnate in groups, in family groups, and it pays no attention to your culture, because there's many cultures in here, and you've changed to live here, a different language, whatever. Christ says you're motivated to your group. So you may be born in another country, come here, you think by accident or on purpose or whatever, learn another language and find your group. So it's on purpose. There's a lot of that kind of thing. I really believe that that is increasing. So my advice to all of you on that is to look for it. Expect benevolence, and it seems to show up. Expect connection, and it seems to show up. I just presented with Greg Braden. He puts a very esoteric and yet intellectual teaching about how energy works. based upon that science about things that can be in two or three places at the same time, like light. But the big one is that light shows up at certain kinds of, whether they're particle or waves, when it's being observed. When it's not being observed, it doesn't. What does that tell you? Well, first of all, there is no answer. I thought, well, that tells us that physics responds to consciousness. Because if you're not looking at it, it's not there. This is crazy stuff. Well, you extrapolate that to this. What if you are creators of things? And when you look for them, you're creating them. You get this? Now, that's in physics, quantum physics. And Greg says, what if? This is his favorite word, what if? It applies to us as well. And so as we go different places, we're actually creating situations that may not have arrived unless we were looking at or for them. That is co-creation, metaphysics 101. Do your job over there.
Hi. I have a burning question.
I'm sorry.
What has happened? Does Cryon say anything about chemtrails?
He has, yes. He wants you to concentrate on something else. That's what he said. That's a covert way of saying it's not important, near as important as you've been told it's important, and that it will consume you, as well as other things like that. And because you're an old soul, because you arrived on this planet with the wisdom you have, and you're concerned about those things, start tempering them and turn to the things that you can do in love and compassion that will really help this planet. It's going to take care of itself. Okay?
I would like to know what Cryon has to say about the animal kingdoms, especially the way they've been treated and the way they're evolving on the planet.
Especially?
The way they are evolving on the planet.
Oh, yes. Cryon has talked a lot about animals. And the things that, and excuse me if you've heard this before, it's one of my most favorite things to discuss because it is so different from what people have been told or what you think. And it has to start with some of the basic questions about animals. Do animals have souls? And Cryon says, yes, but not like ours. They're not human souls. Now that gets into a discussion, well, what kind of soul is it? And Cryon says, yes. In other words, there's a great deal of esoteric information about life and consciousness that we are not privy to. And Cryon says, the ones with evolved souls are the ones that you make as the ones you love. Whether it's a guinea pig or a horse, if you have love for this animal, it can love you back. And I'm not talking about pets either. I'm talking about them like a horse doesn't live with you, but that you would visit it, well, I hope not, and you would visit it, and it would be a love affair you'd have with that horse for all their life. The dogs, the cats, the whatever, the hamsters, the rabbits, they are allied with us in love, and they help us. Don't you love the ones who've discovered they take the animals to the rest homes, and they see what the people will perk up, and even if they're sick or whatever, because the animal supplies an energy. So one of the first things we find out is animals are here for us. Now, there has to be an evolvement of the animal, and this is your question, of certain kinds of animals, because we are evolving too. And I expect this, and I haven't seen it yet, and I'll bet somebody's going to write a book about it, The Evolving Animal Species, or something that would indicate that those who we fall in love with and all of these great animals that we take with us, that there's an evolvement going on. Now, what about the others? Now, a lot of the other animals on the planet are here to balance the planet. In some cases, and you're not going to like this, some are here for our food, because we haven't been, we're not grown up and elegant yet enough to find other food sources. So they're here for that. So they help us. Animals are here for the planet and for humanity. They are part of the situation. Humans are the reason for the season. Cryon says, this sounds like, you know, that we're very, very special. We are. Earth is for us. We've got a job to do here, which is enormous. And it has to do with the galaxy. It has to do with spirituality, compassion, energy, all of these things. The animals support this. They support it in so many different ways. I expect that because they have souls, that there's going to be an evolution of some kind in all life.
Thank you. I'd like to know yours and Cryon's definitions for compassion, benevolence, and the relationship with discernment.
I think it's everyone has their own definition. Cryon has never sat there and defined any of those specifically. What was the last one that gives me that? Discernment, I think, has been talked about more. And that is one of the things that's evolving. I love that part. Discernment is the engine that we use to see truth, I would think. Discernment is the engine that we use to see the difference between the shades of light and dark. We discern everything we're looking at, whether it's the new place or the new person, but the discernment that Cryon talks about is you with the energy of everything around you, and especially with other human beings. I like it when you can walk into a situation and discern how you can help. When somebody is badgering you or trying to compete with you or something like that, can you discern how to help them instead of how to defend yourself? You see that? Can you discern energy so you can disarm fear? Can you discern energy so you can walk into a situation and help it instead of become it? Or part of it, if it's an issue. Do you see the maturity here? This is what Christ says the old soul has, and that the new soul won't. You can really tell a difference between newbies on the earth, that's those who are just showing up because our population is growing, and an old soul, because the old soul will treat these situations different. An old soul shows themselves as someone who is easy to be with instead of being competitive, who listens to you instead of talking at you. You see that this is our task. So the discernment, really, I really love the question on that. The other words, hard to really define them other than what you think. Compassion, how would you define compassion? It's that which is, I would say, your entire soul involved in sharing another. That's how I see it. You become with them. It's not empathy. It's not feeling sorry. It's becoming with them in a way that unites you in one. This is what I see, for instance, when I went to India with the Hindus and in with the Buddhists, where they really are a compassionate people, and that's how they started out, you know, and they learned this. We, culturally, that makes a difference on how we act. We're actually, I think old souls are developing a culture of their own, of compassion, of discernment, and perhaps of a different kind of love, a love that's more expanding. So this is evolving consciousness. This is how I see it in answer to that question.
So I have a question about the Akash. Yeah, I think you mentioned this morning that availability to the Akash is coming through more than ever. It's being, but what about, there's the individual Akash, but if the soul also is a part of all that is, then we all share that in some way. So there's also an Akash that is the Akash of all humanity, all
there,
times.
There really is. Thank you for that. These things are not simple. So there are strata and compartmentalization in that system of Akash. Even though it's a multidimensional system, there are different kinds. You just indicated personal and humanity. There's also group Akash with family. So if what Krishna says is it's complex, but we, for a certain amount of time, when we reincarnate, we tend to come back with certain groups. Evidently, we learn from one another, and we have an opportunity to come back and work the puzzle more. So some call it a karmic family, although that indicates karma, which is something else Krishna talks about, which is we released that a long time ago. So I like Akashic groups more. We come back. So there's that. Then we move on and do it again with other groups. So how many groups are there? Many, and it's all in there. So what you're asking is absolutely right to ask is that, you know, how does that, which ones are remembered, perhaps, how does that play into this scheme where Christ says we're starting to remember? I think that in the elementary evolvement of consciousness, it's going to be more personal at first. And then as we evolve, we're going to start remembering the groups we've been with. We're going to start recognizing people just overtly, you know. I wondered about you. I knew you were in, you know, and you'll recognize one another. That's coming later. This is how evolvement works, in my opinion. Anybody listening to this, for instance, later, and they haven't had any idea what we're talking about, just going to roll their eyes and walk the other way. Says, this guy is nuts. But what's the test is going to be in a few generations. This recording is still going to be around. You're going to start seeing these things, and it's going to be, I think he was right about that. So the personal Akash, what you've experienced to help you with discernment of energy when you return, and I'm coming back, the same thing, is the first wake up that we're going to have. And I think the evolvement is going to be the Akash that we're going to have with, that we've had with others. Well, so let's just go further. If we've come from someplace else, where has that been? Is there a big collective old soul thing in the sky that we just come in? Or is it possible we've come from other planets of choice? What if we came from other planets who've gone through this already? We come in as newbies here without any memory at all of going through those things. But what if it's in our planetary Akash? Now, that would be something that we would remember a little off and on. And I say that because I've had many people come to me confidentially and say, I remember being on this planet or that planet. We looked about the same, but it wasn't Earth. And I believe him, because Krishna has mentioned it. So I think that's all there. I think it comes into that which is the soul. Now, you haven't asked the big one, because you see, now I'm talking and he hasn't even asked these things. We have to separate our Akashic lifetime experience apart from our chemical experience. For instance, I am Irish. I know this, and I've tracked my lineage, and that's my lineage of my biology. However, Krishna says my last lifetime was in Australia. How does this work? Have you ever thought about these things? And the answer is they work well. because they're combined. I may have my dad's portion of his DNA, and my hands look just like him. And so I know I've been part of this family, but my real Akash, that is the Akash I work with, has come from the soul lifetimes that are where I'm a completely different. I could be different race, different gender, the whole routine, just getting to this place. You see how the complexities begin? So there's a lot to know. And the thing is, don't worry about any of it, because when I first learned this, I said, Krishna, tell me what it is I need to know. And he said, it will occur as it's supposed to. We are so well loved and taken care of that you're not going to have spare Akashic things popping up to give you problems. And if you think you do, that is an Akash that you've learned from. It's not a problem, it's a learning experience. You've drowned three or four times in a lifetime, and now you've come to this and want to know why you're afraid of water. That's a learning experience. You find out that's been for your benefit. That it's not something that's supposed to bother you. You have to learn to work with these things as they're supposed to be worked with. Have I gone too far yet? Is it too complex yet? I love the fact that I don't have to figure it out. But I also love the fact that it's being revealed as to why I'm having certain thoughts and why I'm starting to remember certain things. And I celebrate all of it.
I heard in an earlier channeling on the web that you spoke about how we change genders from lifetime to lifetime. So I just want to know where the hate comes from. And did me and my gay brothers and sisters, did we choose to come in at this specific time in history? You kind of get the gist of what I'm asking.
I do. And, you know, it's so interesting, and we'll just blurt it out, how different cultures treat gay people. And in some European cultures, it's absolutely normal. And there's no onus on anything or whatever. You come here, and we've always fought the issue. That may very well go back to our conservative, the pilgrims, the founding, all of that is what we think about it, based in that which we're taught religiously. What he's talking about that you haven't heard of is this. Bryant says, every single old soul has been both genders. And there is a wonderful system, according to Cryon, that allows us to continue to come in the same gender over and over because it's comfortable. You're born at some level when you awaken and you know you're a woman again. There's something that goes, oh, I'm so glad. Certain thing when you're born and you realize you're a guy again at some level esoterically, it's, oh, yeah. But that changes after so many times of the same gender, that's when it shifts. And when that occurs, that is a time of transition between one gender and another, and that is called gay. Cryon says that 10% of the population of the planet is always going through this. There's 10% of the planet is gay. He said that every single old soul has been gay. You've all gone through it, every single one. And then he goes on to say the transition is so precious because when you have a little bit of both, you're very special. You're creative, you're funny, you know, all of this stuff. And if you take a look at the gay communities, that's often where all the art is and the poetry is and all that. It's extremely special. And I teach this to the last breath, and that is I honor all of them. I was one, and it's a good thing. That's the answer.
Yeah. Why the hate?
Cultural. I just answered that first. We were taught to hate. We were born and given the instructions. These are the people that are bad or against God or doing something awful or dirty or whatever. And it is absolutely cultural. And that's why I started with the fact that other cultures that I've been in don't have it. That's how I know it's cultural. Yeah, we were taught that.
Okay, how do I say this? Does Cryon have any insight to tell us about bringing more harmony and peace for the world unrest, especially political, seeing where there's so much division between people?
What Cryon has said is we're looking at a difficult time for a long while, because when you have a planet that has had a certain quotient, if you say, of dark and light, where things that were inappropriate were always happening, and it creates a sameness of a low energy. And when suddenly that changes, there is trouble. And the trouble is mainly with those who are now in the light, and they don't want to be, because they're doing things that shouldn't be exposed, but they've always been there. It affects them, it affects their abundance, all of these things. And it's everywhere. And so the struggle is with that different quotient of light and dark. So as the light starts to come up, the first thing that we're going to happen, and this is a metaphor, is with more light, we're going to see everything that was hiding. And when we start seeing that, that just stirs the pot, doesn't it? And there's going to be reactions and defenses and all that. And it's happening on a world scale as well as on an individual scale. Don't you find it interesting that against normal policy of old energy, Iran admitted their mistake? They shot down the airliner. In the past, they would have denied it to their grave. And those of you who've been through the Cold War knows how this works. Deny, 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 you know. And suddenly they didn't. Why do you think so? Because there was too much light showing they did. And they looked at it and went, we're going to look stupid unless we tell the truth. That's new. You see that? That really is new. From a regime that has a record of what they do and what they say, that's new. These are the kinds of things we are seeing that start to say, you know, that's different. That's different. It's a struggle. And it's going to be a struggle for a long time. Light workers, that's why we call it work. Because we got to hold integrity and hope and all of these things during these times which have this strife. So in answer to your question, I mean, the struggle is expected, and it's going to continue. And it has to, because we're creating a whole new paradigm here of country to country, person to person, corporation to corporation, political party to political party. Wouldn't that be nice to see that change? Whatever side you're on, we all know it's broken. And it would be so good to fix it in a way that is compassionate. And that is possible and doable, it really is. And it just doesn't take that much, but it's coming. And Kryon says, look for it.
Thank you. Can you give us more about how to work with the energy now that the nodes and the nulls are all paired and all activated? Give us more. Tell us how to work that. Please.
You like it, don't you?
I love it.
That's what gives me
optimism.
I'll tell you, you're one of the few who really get it. There is a website I'd like you to look at, kryon.com/nodes, and it will actually go to Monica Morani's website, where she does a full explanation of what are nodes and nulls. We have not taught this yet. We have not developed a course in it yet, because it's only just completed itself. Kryon said when the Pleiadians came here, they created 24 places on this planet, 12 of them being places where they actually landed and taught, 12 of them being not, they didn't teach, and more obscure. And it was set there for like time capsules for a reason. If this planet went into a graduate status past 2012, they would be matched up and opened. They are push and pull energy. They are plus and minus, if you wish. And those 24, we only knew that there were 24 nodes and 24 nulls, but we never knew what matched what. So since 2012, systematically, Kryon has matched them at different meetings until now they're all matched. Then he said, and now they begin to work. Time capsules, not as you expect. capsules that open with information from the stars at the right time. This is the time. And what he said is that they pour onto the grid information that you need to know, the grid of consciousness, the field. We're going to start picking up stuff we need to know as our DNA evolves from the star mothers. This is so esoteric, we just don't go there yet, but we will. So that means there's still another energy that's being poured to old souls, if we wish and choose to use it, that we need. And we need it for these situations that I talked about, where you will have maturity to know what to do, whether it's at work or whether it's at home or whether it's with others, that help situations rather than stir them up. We have come from a culture and a teaching that stirs stuff up. You go to a meeting of friends and you talk about negative things, or you gossip, or you complain. Is that too much for me to say to you? I am with you. I've been there. I've lived the same life you have. This is what we do. You go to a party, you get in groups of complaining. That's what we do. What if it's a situation instead where we get into groups where we start to celebrate the things that are good and that are happening great in our lives, and that's the subject of the party from group to group to group? That's only going to happen when old souls are stepping in and know how to manipulate those kinds of things and start to talk about great things and disarm the gossip and all that. This is what we're being given. And that comes from a very mature, I would say, ascended group of individuals who seeded us with 23 chromosomes, and the 24th being multidimensional. We are starting to get information that's off-worldly that's going to help us mature. How does that sound to you? It sounds good. Is it too spooky? I tell you, when it first was channeled to me, I don't know if Monica remembers, but I said, should we even tell anybody? Because here we are with ETs and push and pull energy and places of the earth. Then Cryan started to say, and here are the places. Monica helped me write them down very quickly. I think within 3 or 4 weeks, we had all 24. And then it turns out, as time has gone on, that each one of the nodes is a sacred place. It's mountainous or something, and we find out indigenous were there. They have their own sacred. When we started, there was just a list of places, and then they became that we started researching the history, and we found out why, and it started to make sense. So there's a long list of things I could tell you about, and eventually we will make a class out of it, and we'll teach it. But what I want to tell you is it's only been literally a month or so since they were all matched. So this is where it's going, yeah.
Hi. I was wondering, what does Cryan say about discipline and finding balance in discipline?
Discipline is changing. And you'd have to, and that's the word you're using, right? Discipline? Okay. When it comes to how to treat, discipline in the workplace or children?
In life.
Life, okay, discipline in life. Are you thinking about you being disciplined or you being the disciplinarian?
Me being.
You being disciplined. Both sides are changing. And Cryan started talking about that in the area of families and children. This would then apply later to even the workplace and one another, where you are either put in a place to make these things happen or you are in a place where it's happening to you. And Cryan said, this is one of the things you're going to see that's different, that what you call discipline now is going to have to be renamed, because it won't be discipline anymore. It's going to be common sense. Now, that means this, is that when you report to some place where there's usually discipline, except in the military, okay, that's different. They try to break you down. You set in a place where there's supposed to be discipline. There's a system that starts, everybody finds their own place, and it makes so much sense, you don't have to be disciplined. You don't make the mistakes you would before. And if you do, that the group actually is, it's like in the Japanese culture, where if you don't fit in, you move out. Instead of being told, get out. You see what I'm saying? So it's a different thing. Now, one of the things that Cryon talked about early on that prompted the writing of the first Indigo Child book called The Indigo Children by Hay House. I showed it yesterday on the screen. It was not a channeled book. I even wondered why we were doing it, and now I know why. Because it was the exposure of the first wave of children that were coming in that showed enhanced DNA. So there was a different consciousness, almost like a new group of kids that were thinking different. And the first thing they did was to challenge the discipline. And they are responsible for the increased amount of Montessori schools and some of the others who use discipline very, very differently. For instance, you come to a school like Rudolf Steiner or some of the other Montessoris, and the children are there, and they're all there, and they look at the kids and say, okay, on the blackboard, here's what we're going to learn this semester. How fast do you want to do it? And if you go faster, there's going to be this reward and that reward. You get more playtime. And what happens is the kids discipline themselves. If they're not going fast enough, some will help the others with their classes so that they can have more recess time. It is a whole different paradigm to discipline. In families, we have stories of these children, and Cryon has said, you've got to treat them not as adults, but at least as friends. And you cannot say, do this because I told you so, because it will not work. It simply won't work. They'll always look at you and go, there has to be a reason. I'm not doing this, you know. And then you've got to tell them a reason. So they're on to you on that one. It must make sense. And so that's why then, instead of discipline, parents are learning, okay, how can we talk to them and negotiate in a way from parent to child and those that generation that makes sense? There's ways you can do it. Again, there's with rewards or just talking it out in their language. What's wrong with this? What are you objecting to? And now you're going to get into the psychology. Well, it works because the kids are a lot more reactive when you start asking those questions. Well, I don't want to because it hurts this or make, and they say, okay, how about this or that? And the kid will go, okay. And now you've just negotiated. It makes for a family that's a lot better than, you know, do this because I said. Go to your room, don't ever come out, kind of a thing, which I've experienced and many of you has because of our age. Then there's the stories that I love about what happens when you're very young, let's say you're 5 or 6 years old, and two parents are arguing, and it's bad. In my day, it was worth psychology later because you crawl into the bed or you go to your room and you just hope they work it out. Because the worst thing you can think of is losing a parent in a divorce. And you can see it coming or something. And I've heard stories of these children standing between arguing parents like this and trying to negotiate between them. Now, Dad, you've said this before and you really don't mean it. Mom, you know this is only temporary. It'd be better if you stopped drinking, you know. Coming from a little kid who's 6 or 7 years old, and I know this is happening. If you're here and you have grandchildren, they're different than your children. This is what I'm talking about. There is an evolution beginning. I don't know how we got to that with that question. We have time for one more.
Oh, I forgot now. Okay. I was thinking about duality. You were talking about darkness and how can I change that. So what the light workers are doing that, what else we can do is going to be now in the present or going to take many years and change the darkness or the light.
So boil that down to one question. What are you asking, really?
Actually, I'm asking, how long does it take to change duality, dark and light, in this year that we live in this decade that we live in?
Krayan has always said this, and that's a good question, thank you, and this, we close with this one. Free choice, we had a whole seminar on that, that the Krayan channeled only about free choice, and I think it might have been in Boulder last week. It's online. Free choice means that anything can happen at any speed, because we're in charge. If you were thinking that Spirit comes down and gives timetables or says, this is how long you've got, that's not what we're doing. It's up to us. One of the things Christ said that always depressed me when he said, two steps forward, one step back. And what he was trying to say is, please don't expect this quickly, and you're in charge. We may go through a time that's difficult when people are saying, this isn't really happening, where it really slows down because there's so much resistance to this that we're trying to change in light. And then it'll pick up again. So you can't, number one, answer the question with a time. I don't know how long. Number two, I don't know because Krayan says it's variable with our consciousness. But the good news is two steps forward and one step back. I like that because it always means we're gaining and we're going to win. And the winning is no more war. The winning is a human race that understands we're very much alike, even though we have our own cultures and our own ways and our own ways of doing things, and it's okay. Winning means the major religions on the planet are still there. But they're all looking at each other saying, you have a right, I have a right to worship my God and your God the way you want to. And we're not going to kill you for it. Winning is all of those things. Yet Earth may not look a lot different, but it will be. And that happens with consciousness and how we treat each other. Winning is a Congress that gets things done instead of trying to tear each other down. You know, this is, I can list them and list them and list them and list them. And people, after a while, will say, well, those are really nicely, I'm going to call you the Pollyanna channel, because all you've got is good news. No, all I have is potential of what I've been channeling. And then Krayan says, you realize that other planets have gone through this. You're not the first one. This dark light thing, free will, free choice, is a spiritual paradigm. And many planets have gone through it. And he said, you're at a stage right now that I have seen many times. And Krayan smiles and says, you're going to win it. And that just means we have gone beyond that point at which it was wishy-washy, or like this, or even tentative. He says, you're on track, but it's still free choice. It's just a way of saying anything can happen, and it's up to you, instead of it's a slam dunk and, you know, don't worry about it. We got work to do. What I want to say next is that this is a time that I've done this so many times, you didn't get all the questions answered. So when we go on a break, you're going to race to my table and answer these questions. No, you're not. I'm going to ask you to leave me alone. I may even go hide in the bathroom. I'm not really sure what I'll do yet, but allow me that. We're going to take 30 minutes. Thank you very much.